Thank you, David. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely morning it is to see you all here, though I think I'm dressed for the summer and came and it got a little bit windy and blustery on the way. Who was saying to me before, that's how you know it's the summer holidays, you know, those 4 weeks before in June, lovely and sunny, and then the school holidays start, and sure enough, a little bit more overcast. Ah well, I'm ready for the summer, I've got my short sleeves on, I've got my hair cut, I am there. And it's lovely to be here with you, and also those who are watching on the internet, hello to you too. Announcements. Not a lot to say. This evening at 6:30, it's our joint, we're into the summer. You might have seen that flashing up, actually. It's our joint services in the summer with Gardenmore and First Lawrence. So tonight, we're going down to Gardenmore, 6:30. We're going to the church, or we're going in the main church this evening. We'll see how that works out. Maybe we might move to the hall the following. We'll see how. But we'll be in the church come our turn. But the first three, Gardenmore, 6:30 tonight, and it's Ivan Nish. Ivan Nish, well known to us in Craigie Hill, and friend and well retired minister out of, wasn't it Abbots Cross? Abbots Cross. So we encourage you tonight, 6:30. And then the following week, actually, it's myself. Actually, for the following two, I'm going to take them. Come anyway tonight here, Ivan, 6:30. Then note also has another Gardenmore one, but there's some young ones here in the congregation, and they are doing a holiday Bible club from 10:30 till 12:00 on this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then there's a barbecue on Friday at 6 p.m. I'm speaking at that, so we could all just come. We'll all just show up at their hall. So that's Gardenmore Holy Bible Club. Finally, we didn't get the chance to do it last week. It was our kids' kind of kids' special service, as it were, after our Bible Club. But I thought I could do just the briefest of briefs update on the General Assembly. And now's not the time to switch off. But we had the General Assembly that was not last week, the week before, and it went well. I want to encourage you as a congregation to the work that's going on up in assembly buildings, and I think it was a good assembly. It was a shortened assembly. The assembly only really, it felt like we were no sooner started than it was Saturday afternoon. It was Wednesday night installation, and that will change, actually. That was something that they voted through. No longer will the moderator be installed on opening night anymore. Next year, they've planned to install them at, I don't know, some random junction during the thing. We'll see how that works. Guess from my view on that one. But anyway, opening night won't be opening night anymore. But anyway, it was this year. Then all day Thursday, morning, afternoon, and evening. And then all day Friday. And then Saturday morning and afternoon. All of the seminars are up on, or all of the sessions are up on the internet, actually, if you wanted to see any of them. And probably one of the big discussion points was on Friday evening. That was the green paper on reconfiguration of ministry. That will have, this is an exploratory paper, but there was about an hour's discussion on it. Really, it's talking about and you might have seen it in the papers, a reconfiguration of how we do ministry, or that's what they want anyway. We like it, not just in the PCI, but of course across Northern Ireland, we love to produce reports about doing things. And this report might just sit in a shelf, we'll see. But it promises, or it wants to change the number of Presbyterian or individual congregations, talk about unions, amalgamations. That was an important one. And you can, as I say, you can watch the proceedings on Vimeo, actually. And Friday evening might be an interesting one, because you can see right at the very end of that discussion, I was like, it was like a proud father, as it were, as one of our former assistants went up to that for his maiden speech. Campbell made his maiden speech at the General Assembly on that important topic. And his was an important speech, talking about the shutting of congregations and the need for pain to be borne, not just by local congregations, but also by church house. So you imagine how that went down. Campbell did well, and that was his first speech, so you can maybe listen back to that one. What else was happening? Then there was a big debate on Saturday, particularly around celebrations of ordination of women to ministry, and it was a debate that was, as you can imagine, had the potential for a lot of division. There was good speeches on both sides, and ended with not being able to vote on the issue. Actually, they passed. The General Assembly passed from that question. Hopefully putting to bed some of those divisions and allowing people freedom of conscience and also a freedom from undue feelings of persecution or whatnot. So that was Saturday. I was up with some other stuff, but those are probably some of the big ones. The virtual communion stuff that I've mentioned before at midweek, it went through, but not in any kind of sense of we'll be doing communion over the internet, more in a sense that we're going to talk about it and realize what can be done on the internet, what can't be done. So that will happen throughout the year. In true Presbyterian style, we set up a committee to think about it. So you want to do something, set up a committee. So we've set up a committee to think a little bit more about all that digital stuff. And that's about an update on the assembly. It was a blur, but it was. I felt a real important assembly for our church, and very much the Lord's hand upon it. If you want to talk to me more? I'm delighted to talk about it over coffee. Or, as I say, I'll give you the link, and you can watch some of them on the internet. Now, as interesting as the General Assembly is. We are not here to talk General Assembly. We are here to worship the Lord. And Psalm 128 tells us, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive shoots around your table. Blessed thus, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." We want to be a people who walk this morning, this week, in the ways of the Lord. And we're going to begin our time. We're going to sing, "Oh, How Good It Is." Let's stand and sing. Let's continue, shall we? Let's pray to our Redeemer, to our Lord. Let's pray. Well, gracious Heavenly Father, we honor you for, Lord, who you are, that you spoke and the world, indeed the universe, came into being, formed, O Lord, from nothing. Lord, at your command you called forth and gave names to every star in the sky. You fastened the sea and the shores, gave life, and you gave breath to every creature. And Lord, you're the one who not just creates, but you're the one who sustains. Lord, this world only turns by your command, by your word. Lord, there our sun only keeps shining, Lord, because you will it so. And Father, you are Almighty God. Lord, though you're Almighty, nevertheless, O Lord, you care for us. Lord, your children. Lord, we thank you for your general providence upon the sons and daughters of men. Lord, that we have life and we have liberty. Lord, yet greater still, we thank you for your saving kindness upon your blood-bought children, that we can know you as our shepherd, that you can take us up into your arms and carry us close to your heart. Oh, Father, there's not one in here whom you don't know by name. Lord, oh, Father, we pray for those whose names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, Father, how you know us completely. You know when we go out, when we lie down. You know, oh Lord, what we're going to say even before we say it. Father, you know us completely. And you know what we need, Lord, each one here. Those present, those watching at home. Lord, you know what's best for us. Lord, you know the circumstances that we are in. Lord, you will it so. And Father, we pray that each one of us would be able to confess that you work all things together for good. Lord, every experience shaped and ordered by you. And we confess so shaped by you, our wise and ever-loving God, for our good and for your glory. Lord, in your presence now, Father, we pray that you would continue that work upon our souls. Lord, that you would shepherd your flock. Lord, for those who stray, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would draw them back to yourselves. Lord, as we confess our sins, Lord, that so we would know that forgiveness that flows from Calvary. For those who doubt, Lord, we pray the word would speak. Lord, for those under the devil's attack, would you rescue this morning? Lord, would you feed each one of us upon the bread of life, the word of God? Lord, we pray these things, knowing that the Lord Jesus goes on ahead of us. Lord, knowing that by his Spirit he works and will never leave nor forsake us. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's read, shall we? We'd Sunday off, so we'll pick it back up. Romans 8. See that? I'm not used to going to Hebrews. I just automatically went to Hebrews. Romans. Romans 8, and we'll read from verse 31. Yeah. Read to the end, 39. Verse 31, hear God's word. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord for his encouraging, reassuring, affirming, foundational word. Now, boys and girls, some questions for you. Some questions. Let's see. We'll try these two here. Right, boys and girls, what have we got here? Yeah, shout it out. It's Nutella. I didn't practice that at home. Honestly, I didn't. This is Nutella. And how do we know? Well, how do we know it's a Nutella? What, a jar? How do we know? Well, it says it, doesn't it? But is there a Nutella inside it? Will we check? I'm going to check. Yeah. If you really want to be sure and that there's definitely Nutella in it, you have to have, let's see, a little bit. Yeah, it's Nutella. It's yummy. So, got our Nutella jar full of yummy Nutella. Okay. It says it on the outside, but also inside. Now, what have we got here? This is a slightly more complicated one. Does anyone know what this is? Any of the adults? Yeah, I hear it shouting out, Biscoff. Yeah, Biscoff. Slightly more refined taste than Nutella, you would say. Very popular in Minnie's a tree bake, some Biscoff or cheesecakes. So how do you know, boys and girls, that it is Biscoff? It says it on the outside, see Biscoff, there's little pictures, kind of clear that, yeah, you would say this is a jar full of Biscoff. And inside, what's in it? Biscoff. And, yep. Oh, Biscoff's so nice, isn't it? Oh, could have me a tree bake of one of them. Right, now, I'll put on my glove. just going to put on the glove here. right, boys and girls, I have another jar. Let's see. Right. What have we got here? Right, boys and girls. This here says raspberry, no added sugar. An old French recipe of delicious raspberry sweetened only with fruit juice concentrate. Does this look like there's raspberry jam inside it? It says raspberry jam. Do you think I should put this on my toast? That's right, Phoebe. I'm not quite sure what's inside this. But I know that if I put like the tiniest spoonful of it in my wee sprayer thingy, I mean, it'll kill everything. I mean, kill it dead. I'm not even going to open it, boys and girls, because I'm pretty sure it's illegal in 10 countries. My friend Trevor gave me this. It looks like raspberry jam on the outside. But it is not raspberry jam on the inside, and most definitely should not be anywhere near children or me. I'm going to put it back in its bag. Oh, yeah. Back in you go. Ugh. Now, boys and girls. Now. Take that off. Sometimes, boys and girls, things can look like on the outside and it can say Nutella or Biscoff or whatever, and very much in the inside it matches up. Sometimes we can have jars that look like something on the outside, but inside, not that good at all. What about us? What about you? What about me? What do we look like on the outside? And does it match up with who we are on the inside? If someone looked at you, looked at me, and wondered, are they somebody who follows Jesus? They say they follow Jesus. But do we, on our inside, what marks us out? One of the things I would suggest that maybe marks us out, boys and girls, well, if you were to open us up, as it were, we would know a little bit more of our Bible, wouldn't we? What was our memory verse from our holiday club? All whom the Father to me... Come to me, and whoever comes to me, never cast out. 6:37, John 6:37. Very good. So we know our Bibles. Try to. What else? What else kind of marks us out? We come to church, don't we? You're here, you're not somewhere else. That's good. We want to come and worship Jesus. What else? Well, the Bible says that in the passage that we're thinking about with the grown-ups a little bit later, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, that brotherly love continues. That there is a people whom we have a special caring relationship one for another with. We care for one another. What does it mean to have brotherly love or sisterly love? It means we care. Here in church, we have people who are interested in you, who care for you, who are here to help you, who are here to teach you, who are here to make sure that you know you're loved. That's not the case everywhere. You know, you can go places and you can be ignored whenever you're a little one. You can be looked down on. You can be told, shh. But here at church, we care and we love our whole church family, from the youngest to the eldest. We're part of a church family. We trust in Jesus. We're born again into a new family, boys and girls. God gives us new brothers and sisters who loves us. And the person who wrote Hebrews says, let brotherly love continue. He wants them to keep going, keep loving each other. You know, sometimes we're not so lovely, are we? Sometimes we are not so lovely to our brothers and sisters. Sure we're not. Are you perfect with your brother or sister? I'm not even sure we've been perfect today with our brother or sister. Sometimes we can be a wee bit cheeky, can't we, boys and girls? And sometimes we can even fight with them. But at the end, are they still your brother or sister? Well, yes, that bond can't and shouldn't be broken. And so it goes in the church in an even deeper way, boys and girls. So it goes. We're part of Jesus' family. We're part of Jesus' family. We're bound together by the Holy Spirit. You can't say to your Christian friend at church, you're no longer my sister in Christ. No, we're knit together. And we're called to love one another. And that to continue even whenever we're on that happy with each other. Just like at home, we keep loving. Now, we're not lovely all the time, and there are times where we have to strive to care for one another. But that's the great mark, boys and girls, that sets us apart. The great mark that we love Christ, and we say that on the outside, and we know it on the inside, and we show it forth as we care for one another, as we follow what he tells us to do. So, boys and girls, do you want to be like my Nutella or my Biscoff jars that are indeed, says it on the outside that we love Jesus, and inside too, we're sweet. And we want to follow him. We want to care for one another. We want to be like that rather than our jar of what questionable garden stuff that says one thing on the outside and the inside it's rotten indeed. No, we don't want to be like that. When people look at us in church here, they say, we want them to see that we are different, that we care for one another, whether we're old or whether we're young. Well, we pray about that. You've listened real well. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your Son who causes us to be born again into a new and living hope through the resurrection. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for him who marks us from the youngest to the eldest. Lord, that mark of being blood bought. And Lord, we pray that which is on the outside for boys and girls, as they say they love Jesus, would be matched up by the inside. Lord, that would be evident in their love and their loyalty for him. That they would be sweet, wanting to follow his commands, caring for one another. And so too, we pray that for us as older Christians. So too, we would care, and care particularly for our little ones. Lord, there is much in this world that is wrong and evil. Lord, we thank you for a church where we can love and care for our children. Lord, and see them brought up in the way everlasting. Lord, to hear of how they love Jesus from a young and early age. Lord, we pray for their salvation, and we pray for their continuing, that brotherly and sisterly love would continue here in our church and in our church family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, boys and girls, we're going to sing. We're going to sing, My God is So Big. And there's a verse in it I think is really appropriate for us. because the verse goes, he calls you to live for him every day in all that you say and that you do. Well, let's be a people who live for him every day in all that we say and all that we do. Let's stand and sing. Let's open up our Bibles at Hebrews 13. We'll read let's read the first six verses. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. Hear God's word. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. And the grass fades, the flowers wither, but the word of the Lord endures forever. I'm going to sing from the word. I'm going to sing from the Psalter and from Psalm 133, and all of 133, how excellent it is, how pleasant and how good when brothers dwell together in unity, as brothers should. For it's like the precious oil that pouring down on Aaron's head, that runneth over, spread down his beard, upon his collar spread. Let's sing about unity and sing it about our brotherly and sisterly love one for another. Psalm 133. Let's pray, then we'll come to think about the passage. Let's pray. Lord, as we still our hearts, we ask and pray that you would even shut out the door of the world for us, and that you would help us to hear that which you would say to us by your true and living word, that by your Spirit you would apply it in our hearts. We would be a people who love you and who follow you, who love one another. So, Lord, we ask for your application and for your clear work of the Spirit amongst us now. In Christ's name, amen. Well, 12 chapters later, and we are nearly and finally at the end. Sometimes we do summer seasons and summer series, and other times we just keep going. We're so near the end there at Hebrews, I thought, well, we'll just keep going in the summer. Why not? We've had 12 chapters of Hebrews, and we've come now to the final, to chapter 13. And often what happens is with this chapter, ministers are wanting to split it into two and dispatch quickly, as it were, to make room for the next series. So you kind of take all this first section together, and then you probably, verse 17, then take the second half of chapter 13. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that, because it seems to me that we've spent all these chapters having it spelled out for us by the author, by the application of the word, all that what Christ has done for us, all of his wondrous work on the cross, all of the theology around the temple and his sacrifice, his priesthood, how he is supreme over all. We spent all this time being reminded how Christ claims us and being told to keep going in love and loyalty for him. And it seemed to me then to get to these final parting words, which are really dense with application. In other words, Christ has done all of this. So therefore now here is how then we live it out. It seemed to be too cheap, as it were, to skip quickly through Hebrews 13. And, well, we have a whole summer ahead of us, so there's time to think through this, you see, and think through it slowly. You know, you can read, an example that's always dear to my heart, so motorbiking, but, I mean, I can read books upon books about what it's like to ride a motorbike, the theory of riding a motorbike, of how you have to counter steer, of how you have to work your hands and in the right sequence to the gears and all the rest. But until I'm actually out on the road, riding along, I haven't really learned anything. I haven't really put it into practice. You see, the books can give you principles, but they're experienced deeply in practice. Now, I can give you, and we have been given text after text on Christ, on his supremacy, on his call upon your life, on what difference that makes, and to be called by Christ in our school, in our work, in our retirement. And we've heard again and again of how he is supreme over all. And praise God that has been of worth. And I know it's been of worth because you've told me, told Martin of how you've been blessed as you've been thinking through this book of Hebrews. But in the last chapter, we're called to put it into practice. Put it into practice. Live it out. Live it out in our love for one another. Live it out in our hospitality. Live it out in our attitude to marriage. Live it out in our attitude to relationships. Live it out in our attitude to money. Live it out in our attitude to leadership, to spiritual life, to forgiveness, to acting honorably. Live it out in our desires and a whole host of practical teaching in Hebrews 13. So I wanted to go slow through it to kind of help us to think about living it out. You know, if we take all of those previous chapters and just leave it on the outside without any abiding of practical worth of living it out, then are we trying to claim the name of Jesus on the outside, but inwardly disown him? What are we then? We're like that jar of questionable safety, sitting in my garage. One thing on the outside, but poison on the inside. We're going to be challenged as we think through Hebrews 13, but the kind of love and loyalty we have for the Lord that is outworked from the previous 12 chapters. We're in no hurry. We've spent months and months in these previous chapters thinking about the doctrine, thinking about our Lord. We'll give the summer an application then to how he would have us live our lives in obedience to him. And it obviously goes without saying. This is Christian living. Christian living we're in a community we're thinking about here. And if we are to behave a certain way in our church, if we are to have a certain ethic about our work, if we are to have a morality, it must come from somewhere. And if it's to be a Christian living, then the clue about where it comes from is that it's from Christ. Christ must be the one behind our living. He is the founder and perfecter of our life. He is the high priest who saves those who are eagerly awaiting for him, the author of Hebrews tells us. If your life has never known Christ in your life, well, there may be a living, an attempt to moral living. There may be an attempt in good living and practical matters. And it may get so far, but it will remain just that, an internally willed event. But one that is from a heart that's desperately wicked, from a heart that's unsaved. You need, and we need, Christian living. And for that to happen, you need a radical heart operation by the risen Lord. A new life, because he laid down his life for us. And that's what then, when that happens, what chapter 13 is opened to you and me. It's opened for us. Because our eyes are open to who we are together. Our eyes are open to our new relationship to money, to our relationship to relationships, to how we consider our leaders. Then we're blessed by the one who teaches us to lay aside every weight and gives us grace upon grace that we would run with endurance. So if there's no Christ, then there is no Christian living. No hope of any of that. But with Christ, who has claimed us, who has redeemed us, then let's hear this morning what his word says to us. We're going to do three this morning. We're going to do verse 1, 2, and 3. That's plenty. Next week, we'll think about marriage and relationships. And then the following, we'll do money and how we relate to that. And then by then, I'm on holidays. Martin will be along, and he'll do leadership. And there's piece our way through the rest of chapter 13. But this morning, firstly, let brotherly love continue. Verse 1. Even before you get to let brotherly love continue, you can't neglect verse 28, actually, of chapter 12. Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken. Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Because God has done all this for us, because Christ has done all this for us, he gives us a kingdom. We are therefore to love God. We're to worship him with reverence and awe. And then the very next application point, verse 1 of chapter 13. Put it into practice. Live a Christian life. Let brotherly love continue. Love God. Love each other. Two tables of the Ten Commandments. See what the author is doing here. Now, this is not a new thing. This is not a new fancy teaching he's given them, is it? He's not telling them something that they didn't know already. He's telling them to love God. And then he's given them a familiar instruction. Let brotherly love continue. Let this mutual love for one another continue. Brotherly love. We're well enough, many of us are well enough on in the Christian faith to know the translation of that, or the Greek, original Greek word for that one, Philadelphios, from which, of course, the city of Philadelphia gets its name. Philadelphos, brotherly love. Love within the family. A faithful love within the family. A caring love within the family. We are bound together by Christ, born again into a new spiritual family. And we're not a new creation just as individuals, but a new creation together in God's house. And previously, the author had already reminded them of striving for peace with one another and be aware of not letting the root of bitterness take hold. So he's reminding them here again, let brotherly love continue. Christian living is characterized by a love for one another. We decide here to love one another, to be bound together as believers in Christ, as we live in this geographical space, as we meet for worship, as we're bound in this congregation together. And it's a love that continues. And I think that's an important word, actually, in that little sentence there. It's a stress there. Continues. Let brotherly love continue. The theme has been used before by the author. Continue seeking the full assurance of faith in chapter 10 and chapter 6 as well. And the start of chapter 12. Keep going. Keep going in the race. Continue in the race. Keep going in Christian living. And here he says, off that Christian living, keep caring for one another. The word links actually to the end of verse 27 of chapter 12. See that there in the kingdom, or in verse 28, the kingdom that cannot be shaken, the kingdom that remains. It's the same word, remain, continue. And he's saying if you're part of receiving this kingdom that can't be shaken, that remains, also what continues is the love for one another. The love that cannot be shaken. What's the things that gets us noticed in Craigie Hill, in Antyville? What are the things that causes people to notice what we're doing? Well, I suppose if you think outside the church, I mean, there are many things that causes people in the community to notice. Can't help but notice a massive crane just up the road. That's very visible, isn't it? And their efforts at the bonfire there. But what about us as a church? Well, there are some big things that we do that do get us notice. Of course, one-offs. Those moments of outreach, perhaps. We stood up in particular, I suppose, when tragedy struck there last year at the bonfire outside our church with the passing of John Steele. Other kind of big events that kind of get us noticed. Well, we did our motors evening. Gets us noticed. That people see that, yeah. Or our Bible clubs, our Holly Bible Club even last week gets us noticed for sure. But what is indisputable, what really I think has a deep and abiding impact on people, is not just the big events, but the weekly, Sunday upon Sunday events. The weekly events during the week, things like the hub, that living together and loving one another, that continuing week after week, that gets us noticed. You know, it is fair to say that we had probably a I mean, we're going back a few years now, 8 years, but probably before my time, we had somewhat of a traumatic time before my arrival. Hopefully the trauma eased after I arrived. Maybe some of us are not. But before I arrived, that's fair enough. Amazing it was that those who stayed, who remained bound together, we love one another. Maybe even as the years have gone on, we've learnt more about loving our brothers and sisters who didn't stay, who left. These things get us noticed. Week on week, loving one another. But it's not easy. I kind of hinted that with the children, didn't I? It's not easy. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And yet we are to be striving for peace with one another, not bearing the root of bitterness. We're rather being rooted in the love of the Lord, who first showed a love to unlovely sinners such as us. And that should energize us. That truth should be witnessed in every soul who loves the Lord. This is a family of believers, one another. We love one another and we continue in it. And as we do so, often I think upon this, we do so in our own way. Our own expression of love one to another does share generalities with our other Christian friends in churches in the town. There are generalities about how churches in Larne and churches in Southeast Antrim, how churches in Northern Ireland, churches in Ireland, churches over the world, there are generalities of that love one another that can be witnessed. You should be able to come in here and then notice if you go on holiday and go to Sashko's Church, Christ the Saviour, in Krakow, you'll notice things are the same, even if the languages are different. They're generalities. But we aren't carbon copies of all of the different churches in this town. Our loving one another and it continuing finds its own expression in Craigie Hill, which is different than the expression in Gardenmore, different than First, different than other churches in the town. And we shouldn't be in this expression of loving one another and it continuing here. We shouldn't be looking over our shoulder at other places in Larne, in competition, to outdo one another in letting brotherly love continue. Some places try that. They think this letting brotherly love continue is actually a competition, and it isn't, because that's actually just rivalry. And that will kill our happiness, that will kill our creativity, that will kill who we are. That will engender a root of bitterness as a congregation. It will damage our walk with the Lord. Was it at the moderator's thing, whenever he was opening up our vestibule, I think I said, well, we're Craigie Hill and we can do things a bit different here. Well, we are. And we should be happy with that. We should be happy with that. And we'll continue to love one another as best we can and continue in our own unique, best fitted way that fits our situation of where the Lord has us in our own history. But it must continue. It must continue. Now, where I keep going, it's 10 to 12 and I've still got 2 points to go. Second one, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So there's a general practical mark. Let love between each other continue in Christian living. Now, two specifics. Because if you went out and you thought, oh, that was very nice, I was challenged, I'll better love one another and I'll work that out, it'll be okay. Well, I've got two particular specifics then from the author. The author wasn't going to let us, and the Holy Spirit's not going to let us off so light. There are two particular challenges here. Showing hospitality and then outreach. And remembering those who don't have liberty. First, hospitality. Show hospitality. Show hospitality. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? Show hospitality. If we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, it should be natural to have them around. To make conversation, to share life together. Does not sound lovely? I'm sure there's not much of a problem being around those whom we know in our Christian family. course, though, that's not actually the command, is it? The command here is, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. To strangers. It's taken as a given that you're happy to have other brothers and sisters in Christ around for food and all the rest. That's obvious. The command here, though, is do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. It's simple to have our friends for dinner. It's simple to have our family around for barbecue. It makes for a pleasant time. And yes, there may be a bit of sacrifice because food isn't cheap and so on. But on the whole, it's a welcome thing to do. But what about strangers? When was a stranger last at your table? Maybe somebody whom you have regularly at your table was first a stranger to you, and they had a first dinner. But now not anymore. There hasn't been a stranger in a long time. Now, why don't we? Why do we not show hospitality to strangers? Or why is this hard? Well, I guess food is expensive. I mean, you can't open up your paper without hearing about how soup has gone up from like 30p to £1.60 or something like that. You can't help but hear about the inflation of food. So there is a bit of a sacrifice, I guess, there. Also, it requires somebody to cook or to host. And it's really easy for me to be up here and yabbering on about hospitality whenever I actually don't have to do any of the hard work of providing for people. That's fair enough. Also, why don't we, well, maybe strangers can be a bit weird, awkward. We don't know them. What are we going to talk to them about? They're a bit strange. Maybe, I think maybe one of the ones probably post-pandemic, who knows what bugs are out there, what illnesses they have. Maybe a bit of pandemic thinking still loitering even on the periphery. And my caveat, of course, to this is maybe some can't and they're under doctor's orders. Fair enough. I'm not speaking to you. Of course, you're actually probably the person who would love to have people around or go around. But I think a core reason, probably, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers and why people don't would be probably time. We talk about disposable income, and disposable income being tight in this day and age. But often the real problem is probably disposable time. We work, we look after the kids. By the time they're in bed, it's near 9 o'clock. The evening's done. Who has any disposable time to spend? We work hard, we get home late. If there's no kids, we're on our own. Even still, there's still so little energy, still so little time. Where is the space to provide hospitality to strangers? We're rushing here, there, and everywhere. I definitely remember I said it, or somebody said it to me, after the pandemic, we'll all slow down. Because it forced us to slow down. So after we all come back, it'll all be different. Don't worry. Everything will be changed. We'll have time for one another. I think that pause lasted about 5 seconds. I think I put it in my calendar, actually. That was the pause. And then everything else was just straight back to rush. Keep going. Church calendar, family calendar, personal calendar. No space. Would you entertain a stranger? Someone who's never been to your house this summer. Sacrifice. But whatever we give, we receive far back more than in the economies of God's grace than we ever give. As we obey his word on hospitality. You know, in ancient times of busy cities, and this is the context that the author is writing into, there wasn't hotels or B&Bs. There wasn't the Curran Court Hotel, as it were. Like we have, if you kind of come into Larne and you want somewhere to stay. In ancient times, there were places, but you probably wouldn't want to stay in them. Not very nice places. If you've ever been to Pompeii or some of those ancient cities, you'll see what I'm hinting at there, the kind of establishments that no right-thinking person would be wanting to be about. But this is a practical point for Christians who are traveling, you see. The ancient people, the ancient Christians, as they're traveling, Don't neglect strangers. Show hospitality to them. Give them somewhere to live. Share your food while they're traveling through. Give a Christian home whenever he's away from home. You know, as God blesses us, so we bless others. And today, if I think about this point, well, people are dying to talk. They're dying to have companionship. To no longer be strangers. And that's the amazing thing. They're only strangers once, and then we begin to know them and they us. There are many places that people seek hospitality in today's world. Clubs and pubs and societies, the internet. And what people still say, they're lonely. They're still searching. Where do we want strangers to find companionship? And true companionship. Where not, if not in the Christian homes of this community, where that modeling of love that continues happens. May it be in our own homes, perhaps first. I note that final line there, it's, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. The motivation isn't to meet angels, it's to meet strangers. Abraham, it's referencing Genesis 18, and Abraham and Sarah entertained strangers there. And then, of course, they were actually angels who brought good news of a promised son. And I think the reference is going to Christ, of course. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. So entertain. Show hospitality. Be encouraged. Because you don't know who you're going to meet. And you're doing so in love for your Savior. And who knows what surprises he has for us as we obey his word in Christian living. We end in outreach. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated since you are also in the body. And then next week, we'll think about relationships in verse 4. Hospitality to strangers, now to, they were free and wandering about. Now to those who have no liberty, who are in prison, remember them. Earlier in Hebrews chapter 10 and 32 and 34, the author had reminded Christian friends, and his Christian friends, that they were persecuted. They had been mistreated for the gospel's sake. They had lost home and liberty. And he's telling them and reminding them here, show compassion for those who are in that situation. We are to be a people for those who care for those who are in prison, who are tortured, and care deeply, actually. See here, as if, since you also are in the body, or as if you yourself were in their body. Imagine you were in prison whenever you're trying to think about caring for them. What would they like? How can we best minister to them? You know, this church, I know a little of our history, we know well about caring for those who are in prison. You had a minister had to go to prison, didn't he? Well, he went as chaplain. But in Jackson's time, when he was here, and then actually I think then continuing whenever he became chaplain, didn't you go up and do choirs and sing there? I think maybe it's something we need challenged on again. And we need not go far for caring for those in prison. Did you know there's a prison in Larne? There's a prison in Larne, a detention center in Larne for immigrants. It's located within the police station. It's not big, there's maybe about 19 beds or so. And I know some chaplaincy stuff goes on there. And maybe there might be here a chance for us to remember those who are in prison. We don't need someone to do it all. But even if this was a burden on your heart, speak to me and we'll see where we can start on it. Think about those who are in prison. Also, I mean, I don't have much time to unpack it this morning, but those who are mistreated as well. Those whose liberty is affected. I mean, it's applicable not just for those in prison, but for those who don't have a freedom anymore to go and go here or there. You see that as folk get older, or there's illness. That circle of where they can go gets smaller. Or even for a time is limited to a hospital room, or a nursing home, or housebound. Remember those. Remember those, since you are also in the body. We care for them. Let brotherly love continue. Practical Christian living here. That's what we're talking about. Practical Christian living. It looks like loving one another. continuing to love one another. It looks like caring for those we know and caring for those we don't know, whether free or locked up. That's a big remit. That's a massive remit this morning. I mean, we've spent nearly half an hour on that. We've kind of just scratched the surface. But there's plenty of space to grow in grace here. Plenty of space to work out our love for Christ and our loyalty to him. Plenty of space maybe for repentance. Because we don't always get this right, do we? We're hard to deal with. We are numb to each other's pains. And we're generally fallen sinners. And we don't do this perfectly. But praise God, he forgives us. And he gives us grace to keep going. And I'll say this to those who are listening, maybe sitting on the sidelines, knowing that there's more here. Knowing perhaps and seeing this love that the congregation has had one for another and experienced some of that, and yet still not fully deeply experienced it because you're not living for Christ. You're not saved. Maybe there's someone behind those smiles this morning and that you look like one thing on the outside, but actually inside you know it's poison. Your heart's desperately wicked. Well, there's salvation found in no other name but Christ. The Lord Jesus grips lives this morning, forgives sins and turns us around and gives us new desires to love and to serve him. And there's nothing like this in all of creation. Indeed, it is supernatural. It's the gospel. And it's a call to you to follow him and serve him this morning. Don't delay. Don't get distracted. Repent and believe upon him. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Oh, Lord, how by your gracious word, Lord, you peer into our hearts. Oh, Lord, you challenge us to let that brotherly love continue. Lord, to show hospitality to strangers, Lord, to remember those who are in prison. Oh, Lord, there is a lifetime's work here and a lifetime's work of love, of gratitude for that life that you laid down in Jesus Christ for us. Oh, Lord, we pray that so too we would follow him. Lord, in this race of faith that we would continue. Oh, Lord, help us in these circumstances. Lord, we remember in intercession, particularly those in our own congregation who, Lord, are strangers still. Lord, give us opportunities to, Lord, serve them, to love them, to have them round perhaps even over this summer. Remember, though, Lord, those in our congregation who, Father, who know a restriction of liberty. Lord, they're not well. Lord, in hospital, Lord, in nursing home, or maybe just in their homes. Well, Father, we pray that you would, Lord, draw alongside them. May they know that firstly, you are their help in darkness, that you are the one who is in control, that you are the one who directs them by your word. Father, would you be that friend and companion to the lonely? And Lord, we pray that you would help us to extend our hands to them, that we would serve them. Lord, that we would have opportunities to minister unto them and remind them of the love of Christ. Lord, we commit this to you. Lord, remember our summer as it stretches out before us, and we pray for, Lord, refreshment and, Lord, opportunities to, Lord, know that relaxation. Lord, remember particularly Martin. Pray for him and Wendy and Daniel too, Lord, over these weeks that he would, Lord, know a physical refreshment, but a spiritual refreshment, Lord, as he rests from labor. Lord, we commit these things to you in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to end our time with an old hymn, but a good hymn. Blessed be the ties that bind. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.